Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with the Top 6 at 6.
How about 6? 6 is good.
Nikola Jokic dominated Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the Nuggets destroyed the Bucks on a back-to-back night, with the Joker becoming the second center ever, along with Wilt Chamberlain, to have 50 triple-doubles. And he did it in like 300 less games than Wilt, something absurd like that. After the game, Giannis spoke on Jokic.
He's a smart player, plays the game the right way, find his teammate, he's out there to win, great energy. And yeah, man, he just plays the game the right way. He's such a smart guy, great guy, and he plays for his teammates, and his teammates play for him.
Is Jokic the greatest Nugget of all time?
Yeah, for sure. You know, even just earlier this week, I was kind of hesitating just a little bit on it because of the longevity of Carmelo, and I knew that Jokic would eventually be the greatest Nugget, but man, when you really sit down and look at these accomplishments, he's achieving things that literally nobody in the history of the game has achieved. 3.5 seasons less to get to that mark with Wilt Chamberlain and everybody else. I mean, that's insane. So, 100% best player in Nugget franchise history.
Ring it, Kevin.
Well, your guy is available. Jets GM Joe Douglas said today that the team officially field trade offers Sam Darnold, your guy.
John Elway's guy, be specific.
Okay, and your guy.
Guys, but John Elway's guy. Like, it's the one and the only one. But go ahead, Scotty.
Do you want to go get your guy?
No, I'm not, because I'd rather have Mac Jones. Or Justin Fields.
Hold on. You want to draft Kellen Mond, and you want to go out and get a free agent quarterback. So, I mean, certainly Sam Darnold could fit into that quarterback room somewhere.
I'd rather have a bit quarterback, believe it or not, like Mitch Trubisky than Sam Darnold. But my guy was Jameis Winston, and I don't think that's going to happen. But there's other vet quarterbacks, and that's what Sam Darnold is, that I would actually want more than Sam Darnold. Now, that wasn't the question a few years ago. The question a few years ago when you didn't have a quarterback is, what is a good young quarterback to go with Case Keenum? And Sam Darnold certainly was one of those guys back then, as was Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, and Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen. So things just change as time goes on. So no, I'm not dying for Sam Darnold now, because I think there's better options.
I think Sam Darnold's probably one of those guys that, you know, he's probably a pretty dang good quarterback. He probably really is. And he probably got his one shot at it, and he's never going to get another real crack at it. I don't know who's going to take another chance on Sam Darnold, and it probably was not all his fault. Yeah. But that's the way the cookie crumbles, man.
Listen, Ryan Tannehill showed you can be a really good quarterback in a bad situation, and you can go somewhere with a little bit of experience under your belt, and things can pop. It can happen. But that's the road he's probably going to have to go down. And you know what?
You got to get insanely lucky to get that chance again.
Very likely that may be an inevitable road that Drew Lock has to go down, unless he takes a big bounce from years 2 to 3.
Drew probably will not get that chance. I'll do this quickly, but
he's going to be a backup quarterback in the NFL?
No. The Ryan Tannehill chance, the second rebound. Like we're going to give you a shot at being the official guy, because the first rounder deal is a big deal. It is, and those guys all had the first round label on them, and teams give them a second chance. I think Drew Lock will probably get one and only. This will probably be his one and only shot at really being a franchise guy.
Hold on. Tannehill got his chance because he agreed to basically be a backup to Marcus Mariota in Tennessee. You don't think Drew Lock will have a chance to be a backup, and you never know what happens to the starter?
But that's not what happened with Ryan Tannehill. They brought him in very intentionally to try to push Marcus Mariota out of the way.
Yeah, but Marcus Mariota... Oh, really? You think so?
Yes, I know so. Yes.
They brought him in to push Mariota out of the way?
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, Mariota certainly got plenty of chances to start and play. I mean, the Broncos ruined Marcus Mariota at the end of the day.
They brought him in to be competition for Marcus Mariota. I know that much. He wasn't brought in to be a backup.
What's the difference?
When you're brought in to compete with the guy, you have a legitimate opportunity. When you're brought in to be a backup, you're just a backup.
So you don't think Drew Lock will ever have the chance to compete to push a guy?
Oh, I'm not trying to be so definitive about it, but I'm just saying in all likelihood, if you're not a first rounder, it's unlikely that you get that opportunity again.
Yeah, fair enough. Bring it. Chris Sims ranked Zach Wilson ahead of Trevor Lawrence. Okay, wow. He also has Mac Jones as his third-rated quarterback, but maybe the biggest news is Kellen Mond being rated ahead of Trey Lance and Justin Fields. Are we sleeping on Kellen Mond?
You're not.
Well, I know I'm not, but are we collectively as a...
Well, you might be sleeping on him a little bit, though. I mean, depending on what role you're drafting him for, maybe even you're sleeping on him. I don't know.
Maybe I am, because I would not...
He's not on my radar.
Fourth-round pick at best for me.
He's not on my radar. I'm surprised to see Chris have him on his, but, hey, man, when you go back and you look... Like, Chris's list feels a little bit... A little bit jinky to me, just like he's getting a little bit too creative. But then when you go back and you look at his quarterback rankings of previous years, the dude's been dead on, like spot on, every year.
Ringing Kevin.
Diana Rossini has put out a tweet that an anonymous league source told her that it's going to be a bloodbath next week, or it's going to be a massacre next week, meaning there's going to be a ton of veterans that get chopped, and maybe guys that you're not typically thinking would get chopped. Maybe not just because they're aging and they're on the tail end of a contract that they're no longer performing with.
Mm-hmm.
Think the Broncos are going to have anybody that fits into that category?
Well, we brought up Juwan James earlier, but we'll get into Troy Rank's article with Dalton Reisner, which sheds some light on Juwan James. So my opinion may change on Juwan James based on this article. And like I said, we'll get into those details here in a little bit. Other than that, the Graham Glasgow one is, I mean, it'd be really, really, really surprising. But okay, you're asking for surprising ones. That'd be one. And the more predictable one would be Melvin Gordon. But even with a potential 3-game suspension, he was chosen to be here by Pat Shurmur.
Right.
Pat Shurmur does run the offense, and whether you like Pat Shurmur or not, at least right now he's in charge. So I don't know. I guess I would be surprised by any big vet cuts by the Broncos. You know, you may get Bryce Callahan too. Although that would kind of be a surprise because, man, they are, their depth at corner is terrible. So that might help Bryce. You?
Yeah, I think you hit it. I mean, I don't think there's really going to be a surprise guy. I would still be a little bit surprised if they were to release Juwan James, although I think that would be the right thing to do personally. I'm not sure that we'll have anyone.
Ring it, Kevin. Well, a reminder for everybody out there to go to denverfan.com and listen to Zach Bye's latest Mile High Hoops podcast, where he does take on is Jokic the best player in Nuggets history. And by the way, we are still working, Richie, correct, on the DMAC, A Relentless Life, Pursuing Quarterbacks audio version. I'm getting close.
Nice.
How many projected, what chapter are you on in terms of finishing the audio? We know how many chapters are in the book because it's the book, but what chapter are you on?
I have combed my way through chapter 12.
Right. 12.
Nice, wow.
Okay.
Moving quickly.
Right. And the expected amount of chapters you'll be done with when it's over is
14.
14, right, because it's a 14 chapter book. All right, so maybe this week, maybe next week, something like that. And, you know, I know people are on the edge of their seat, so listen to Zach Bye's podcast at denverfan.com. We found out his radio partner of 4 years thought his birthday was today. When it's not, it's next week. So you can tell how close those guys are. But that being said, if it was Zach Bye's birthday today, what would you be getting, Zach Bye?
Oh, good question. Probably a 80-inch TV. Because reading his spectacular article that was written about him today on Jason Barrett Sports, I learned today that he grew up until he was 15 years old. He never had a TV. Why does he do radio? Why is he in love with what he does? Because he literally was that kid that listened to the radio his entire childhood.
My goodness.
Fascinating story.
Was it like one of those big, huge, old
radios. I hope so. That'd make it a better story.
Yeah. Big, huge things. Because he did grow up, like, in the 2000s. So, yeah. I mean, it was a long time
ago. He's like a millennial, but he was listening to, like, radio theater. Like, they still do that?
All the ships to sea to shore. It's the radio hour. We're going to go old-timey with Sublime and Blink 182. Old-time radio. Zach Bye's listening.
We love Zach. I'd get him a Cam Newton jersey. Bring it, Kevin.
Nice. Nice. Why not just get Alex Smith? Just give him what he wants.
That's even better. See, there you go.
Right.
That's what you should get him.
That's what he wants.
An Alex Smith jersey.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter predicted that there would be 18 new starting quarterbacks in the NFL next year. Are you given that prediction? And I think we more or less agree that it's going to be a huge number. Are you surprised that we haven't had more movement in the quarterback market yet?
No. Because there's not many guys that are just flat out available right now. So
how are we going to get to 18?
I am trying to think, are there any guys right now who are just, like, available right now? Like, J.J. Watt was available right now.
Teddy Bridgewater is definitely available.
No, he's trade. You have to trade for him.
Oh, I thought that's what we were talking about.
Mm-mm. Like, you could
sign. You're talking truly free agents.
Yes. So, Kyle Van Noy is not a quarterback. What, is anybody else?
Not that I'm aware of.
Right. So, to answer your question, no, I'm not really surprised right now. We are, you got to see.
You are confusing, by the way.
What's that?
If everybody hears the same thing, maybe it's you, not us.
What was your question? I thought you were talking about quarterbacks. Were you not talking about quarterbacks?
No, you got confusing. That's all.
I got confusing?
You did.
Yeah. I thought we were talking about quarterbacks, and Richie puts in my ear, Kyle Van Noy. I'm confusing?
But I was talking about trades, and then you all of a sudden switched it over to free agents.
I'm not surprised about trades or free agents. It's just a little bit early because we don't know who's going to get tagged first. I would anticipate we'll have a better sense of things after the 9th when tags have to be applied and just kind of that's the way things go. So I'm not surprised, but I do expect a massive amount of turnover. You?
I think that number is probably too high. I agree that there's 18 teams that would like to get a new quarterback. I just don't think that it's realistic that you could find 18 new starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So I don't think that the market's going to be as crazy as it once was thought to be.
Bring it, Kevin! By the way, Mike Mayock gave Derek Carr the dreaded vote of confidence.
I saw that.
He's our guy, that Derek Carr. And the Russell Wilson deal... I mean, everybody is saying he wants to, I want to be a Seahawk.
But he gave out a list of teams he'd be willing to play for.
He did, yes. Which were the Saints, Raiders.
Cowboys,
Bears.
Yeah.
Not the Jets. I guess Sierra doesn't really want to go to New York. Not the Broncos, which never felt like, I never felt like there would be something.
I love it.
Another day, by the way, it is funny, like, watching the TV networks in the morning. They're still trying to get the Deshaun Watson thing going when there's really, really nothing new to report on it, but they understand the value of keeping his name in the highlights. I mean, it's really, it's just nothing new, but just letting you know, nothing new, Deshaun Watson. I wonder if he will meet with them again, if Coley will be able to get more conversations going with them.
I doubt it. That was probably the one and only meeting that they will have, and it wasn't even in person.
It was on Zoom. All right, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, who is also a tremendous writer, as well as a incredibly gorgeous person to look at on television, and smart and thoughtful. Has written an article about Dalton Risner. And there's a couple of interesting things in here. First of all, Risner is admitting as a rookie, he thought he should just keep his mouth shut. Even though wasn't Dalton like a captain as a freshman at Kansas State? Something crazy like that?
I don't know.
He was at least a 3-time captain. Anyways, I'm a rookie. I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
You're just making up stuff now.
Yeah, maybe. Second year, he said, Dalton Risner said, I felt a little bit more emboldened, but still whatever. Dalton Risner is saying, it doesn't matter now. I've been here long enough. I'm going to really let my voice be heard. You know, he's basically, I don't care if guys like me or not. I'm going to take ownership of my role and be a more vocal leader.
Yeah.
Let me address that first with you. What do you think about that attitude?
That's great. You know, I'm surprised to hear him say that he kept his mouth shut his rookie year. He's a pretty loud dude. I always thought that he was actually kind of quite out there as a rookie. I think Dalton is a born leader. He's the type of guy that you don't have to teach him to be a leader. He's the type of guy that whether you asked him to be a leader or not, he's going to be. So doesn't surprise me at all to hear that he's thinking this way.
Yeah, let me read the quote. Going into my third year, I feel like it's all gas, no brakes. I can talk to guys, get on people's butt, parentheses, so is something else. And that's exactly what I plan to do. I don't care if I make friends. I think there's a lot of guys on the team that feel this way. Man, if I don't make friends because I'm hard on my teammates, I don't care. I'd rather go to a Super Bowl than be friends with everyone and be 5-11. There you go. It's pretty aggressive. Speaks well about Drew Locke. Drew's been working out with 5 days a week with Dalton Risner, Cortland Sutton, and others. So they're around. Good to know.
If you're leading up to Juwan James, I'm going to be shocked if Dalton Risner says anything. And I've not read this yet.
Oh, I'm absolutely. That's,
yeah. Well, I'm going to be shocked if he says anything other than very positive things, because Dalton Risner is Dalton Risner.
Here it is. Oh, Juwan James is going to be back. He's back, man. He's been working out all offseason.
Right.
He's going to be in Denver in 3 weeks. So he hasn't been here, but he's going to be here in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Taking some time off.
Well, he did opt out. That's all right.
His wife's from Colorado.
Interesting.
Did you not know that?
I did, now that you reminded me.
She was like
an
incredible softball player.
Yeah.
She was okay. He's going to be back. He's going to be in Denver in 3 weeks, and me, Graham Glasgow, and Lloyd Cushenberry are all going to be making sure to be working out with him, where he's hanging out with us and getting the feel for things. He's nowhere near done playing football. He's excited to come back 100%. He's coming back to play, and he wants to get back into the mix. Those are some juicy lines to read between. You care to take a swing?
No, not at all. I mean, that's about what I would expect. I mean, if you're being serious that you see some juicy stuff in there, I don't.
Come on.
Go for it. Swing away.
We are all going to be making sure to be working out with him. We're all going to be making sure we're working out with him. We're going to get on his, and I don't care if I make friends and I'm hard on my teammates. I don't care. I'd rather go to a Super Bowl than be 5-11. I don't care about friends, and we're all going to be making sure we're working out with him. Seriously? Am I the only one that can hear they're going to get on his butt and demand more, and he needs that?
Well, if that's your way of losing friends, it wasn't very direct. I guess. I don't know, D-Mac. It doesn't sound that juicy to me personally. It sounds like a very Dalton Risner type of quote. Very positive, actually. He's got a lot of football left. We're really excited.
They're ticked
off. He's not even remotely
done. They're obviously disappointed with him. They do like him. Like, he's a nice guy, but they know that he needs to be taken in. They know they need to put their arms around him. And you know what? Here's my guess. This is a guess, okay? In my opinion, I'm guessing this is what they did with Garrett Bowles to help turn him around. And I'm guessing that they feel as a pack, as a group, if we can use what we did with Garrett Bowles, we can help out Juwan James as well. And I'm going to be the guy that's leading that charge. I'm Dalton Risner. He is a true alpha. Ain't no doubt about that.
True alpha.
He is going to be the true alpha of that offensive line, and this is what he's going to do. And you know what? That, in my opinion, gives the Broncos a gargantuan chance to get the best out of Juwan James.
Maybe.
In my opinion.
You know, it all comes down to Juwan James. You know, Juwan James has to want to play football. So it doesn't matter whether these guys embrace him or not. It doesn't matter if they go out of their way to invite him to dinner. If you don't love football, there's nothing that can change that.
But they're going to put the pressure on him. Dawson's going to put the pressure on him. If he doesn't respond, he doesn't respond.
My only take on it is that I don't think that there's anything that any of his teammates can do to help out Juwan James.
A lot of peer pressure. That doesn't work.
Not if you don't love football. Doesn't do anything for me. If I don't like being here, I don't like being here.
I'll give you that.
You can call me out all you want. I don't like this.
Right.
So you're making fun of me that I don't want to go do extra sprints today. Guess what? I don't want to do sprints.
Right. Like, well, why is it taking you 3 weeks to be back in Denver? It's March. I mean, you didn't play all year. I get it. COVID, understandable, fine. But there's a lot of safety precautions and different things you can do dealing with COVID now compared to, you know, last year at this time. I mean, come on.
I'm not overly optimistic on Juwan James. And I think that it's reasonable of you to read between the lines on that one. Juwan is more than likely going to show up because he's got a lot of money on the line. And why would he give all that money back? Which he would have to give a lot of money back if he were to just disappear. But there's ways to disappear without officially disappearing.
Fine. I'm listening to you. I'm hearing what you're saying. And, you know, this does tie into that article about the bloodbath in the NFL that Diana Rossini wrote about. So, all right, cool. Let's dig into that next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Hi, Tyler. I got something for you. Diana Rossini.
I know Diana.
Okay. Reporter just texted an NFL coach.
Made her start out in Washington. You know, I probably made her famous. My quotes that I gave her.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, she talked to a coach and said that free agency is supposed to be a bloodbath all across the league.
Right.
Okay. The Kyle Van Noy thing caught us by surprise. Are there any Broncos that could be surprise cuts? Like, we're just done.
Yeah, I don't think surprise ones. You know, you've got Bryce Callahan is potential. You've got here's one that could be a little bit of a surprise. Not really a big deal to me, but Nick Vinette. Nick Vinette is making, I think, around $4 million, something like that.
Okay.
And the production that you got out of him was very limited. If you wanted to go out and get another free agent tight end, you certainly could. Matter of fact, with George Payton and his history with Kyle Rudolph, he might be interested in him.
That would make sense.
I don't know that we've really got any surprise targets, though. I mean, all the guys with the big salaries, we know who they are.
Yeah, the vet cut, a surprise cut, is a guy who still has a contract going, and you just say, forget it. You don't try to trade him, you just let him go.
Juwan James, maybe.
Juwan James. There you go.
Yeah.
That would be a big one.
That's a huge decision.
That would be a big one right there. That would be by far the biggest
one. I actually think it's the right decision. I think that they should release Juwan James. George Payton should go ahead and set the culture for this football team. And you don't need guys in this building that don't want to be here, especially guys that are getting paid the way that he is getting paid. There's just it's a bad precedent, and it's a bad vibe for the building, for the players to just know that somebody's getting paid that well and they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
I think they should move on from
Juwan. And Juwan James has zero trade value, right?
Probably right.
Probably,
yes.
Yeah. Yes. I don't think I could top that one. I was trying to think of some other. Vinette's a good one. That's a good pickup right there. And hopefully Alberto is feeling good and his ACL is feeling better and he's going to be all right. And, you know, the amazing journey of Jake Butt could continue And you know what? Maybe they do pick up Kyle Rudolph in free agency. That would make a ton of sense.
They could. You know, that's what happens in the NFL. You guys just travel together. It's amazing. Once you get in with a particular scheme or a particular staff, you just go everywhere with them.
Yeah, it's interesting because we're so focused on quarterbacks, obviously. There's other positions. Like Shelby Harris. What do you suppose is going to happen with Shelby Harris?
I think he'll be a... I think the Broncos would like to bring him back for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he will be a priority. I think that if you bring him back, it's probably going to be at the tail end of free agency, because he still hasn't really been paid. He still wants to get paid. So he's going to try. He's going to attempt to get paid, and, Broncos probably aren't going to be that team. So,
he went through virtually the exact same thing last year, thinking that a big payday was coming and it never did. And the Broncos brought him back and he had a pretty productive season.
He's getting older now. So it's going to be hard for him to really go out and get that huge payday at this point. But I would think there's got to be a team out there that would, $5-6 million a year type of deal.
Well, what happened to 10-12 that he was supposed to get last year?
Well, I know. That was a big eye-opener.
That was great. And what did he say, like 2-point-something? I mean, not what he was expecting.
Right.
So you may be able to get Shelby back on sort of the same sort of deal.
What's going to be really interesting is just to follow all the other teams and whatever surprise cuts are going on. I guess in theory I understand why Diana Rossini's saying it's going to be a bloodbath because the salary cap's supposed to go down and teams are going to have to make some tough decisions. I don't know that the cap's going to be as low as people think it's going to be. And so I don't know if it's going to be as big of a bloodbath as she's saying. I mean, why else would it be a bloodbath?
I don't know. Probably just because of the salary cap and just the nature of, there's going to be perhaps 18. I mean, hold your breath on that. Maybe upwards of 18 new starting quarterbacks in the NFL this year.
Yeah, I'm taking the under on that.
Okay.
It's just not that easy. I mean, I know that there's that many teams that want to replace their quarterback, but it's not that easy. You've got guys like, even like a guy like Drew Locke. It's complicated. It's not as simple as just moving on.
But if you have 18, well, I don't know. What do you want to put the number at? Just for the sake of this argument, conversation. It's not
13,
really
14, something like
14.
That.
14. If there's 14 new quarterbacks, almost half the league.
That's insane.
Then there's got to be a ripple effect down the line in order to make all of that happen.
Yep.
And that might be the result of the bloodbath, that you would be overpaying for guys or making room on your salary cap that because most of the quarterbacks in these deals would be trades or high-priced free agents, or it's not going to be rookies that are coming in for these 14 jobs. I mean, maybe a couple.
Where are all these new quarterbacks coming from? That's why I don't think that it's going to be as high as people think. I feel like we would have had more action going on in the trade market already if there are really going to be 15, 16 new quarterbacks.
Well,
they're not all coming from the draft.
Let me do an exercise for you. Will there be a new quarterback in Seattle?
No.
Really?
Really. Yes.
Okay.
I think the finances of that deal is just dang near impossible for Seattle to move on from Russell.
Will there be a new quarterback in San Francisco?
Yes, I do think there will be. Kevin's over there shaking his head. I see him through the window. He's shaking his head. There's a lot of smoke going on out there. And anytime you hear a GM defending their quarterback as often as John Lynch has had to say, Jimmy Garoppolo's our guy.
Yeah.
There were rumors that they were in talks for Teddy Bridgewater, that San Francisco has been calling about Teddy. So,
will there be a new quarterback in Chicago?
Yes.
Will there be a new quarterback in...
Somebody counting?
I guess it's really only one, really. There's some places we know there's going to be a new quarterback. Like, we know Carolina's going to have a new quarterback.
Yeah.
We know, Jacksonville will have a new quarterback.
Sure.
We know certain things. And we know certain teams that, won't. Cincinnati won't. The Bills won't. Will Miami have a new quarterback? Will the Jets have a new quarterback?
Miami, it's either Deshaun Watson or nothing else. I don't think they're going to draft another quarterback. Jets will for sure have another quarterback, in my humble opinion.
And then you go, will Houston have another quarterback, a new quarterback?
Yes, they will.
Will Denver have a new quarterback?
Mm.
Tricky, right? Maybe
will
not.
They? Oh, man. I still think that there are greater odds of Drew Lock being the quarterback than anybody else.
I actually agree with you on that. But it's not that the door's closed. It's just right. If we had to just look at the big picture.
Just looking at the landscape,
right.
And it's not going to be easy to go draft a quarterback.
Well, the Raiders have a new quarterback.
No.
Sure.
I feel pretty confident in that, yeah. I mean, okay. Derek Carr is the boy. If you're moving on from Derek Carr, it has to be for a Deshaun Watson type. Because I'm telling you, Derek Carr, Derek Carr is in the Matthew Stafford type of category.
Would you move on from Derek Carr for Russell Wilson?
Sure, yes.
Stuff like that.
Yes.
Anyways, you can just kind of keep on going down the line. And we already hit on, we didn't even get through half the league. Then we hit on a bunch. And we'll see what the ripple effect is. You know what's interesting, though? Our guy, Chad Brown, shoulder to shoulder, actually just... agrees with John Clayton on, I think, the kookiest idea. It just doesn't seem to make any sense. We'll catch up with Chad Brown about that coming up next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and T-Mac.
Our guy Chad Brown joined us earlier on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. And on DenverFan.com, John Clayton wrote, I don't know. It didn't seem to make sense, but Chad agreed with them. Chad, $7 million just to think about it? How is that worth it?
I don't think John states the case very well. If you don't pay him the $7 million, then you have no option. He is released and can sign with anybody. If you pay him the $7 million, then you can set up a trade possibility. Von Miller has value to other teams. There are four or five teams who lost out on the J.J. Watt sweepstakes. Those teams consider themselves to be a pass rusher away from moving to the next step. Teams like Indy, teams like the Browns. So why not pay Von Miller the $7 million, so then you have that option to be able to trade him? And for a team like the Broncos, who have tremendous salary cap room at this point, you pay the $7 million, it keeps your options open. It isn't just to see how Von Miller's ankle is and you can cut him in training camp. I don't think that was well stated by John Clayton. I think it keeps your options open for all kind of things, particularly trade. And considering the salary cap room, you can get a couple of draft picks. That's a smart move to make.
All right, well, I guess if you are operating under the belief that you think that Vaughn does have trade value, I could see where you're going there. To me, you either make the decision, you're moving on from Vaughn, or you pay that $7 million and you're seated through for another year, because I personally don't think there's a whole lot of trade value there, Chad. I mean, okay, for example, J.J. Watt just signed a pretty ridiculous deal, or a two-year deal that Von Miller's probably got to be drooling looking at it, right? Why didn't the Houston Texans trade J.J. Watt?
I think it was more of an allegiance to the player and a tip of the cap for a job well done to let him choose his future path than it was a true football decision. I think it was, hey, J.J., you've been tremendous here in the city. We are clearly rebuilding on this organization. We're going to just let you go. Is it a smart football move? No. Is it classy by the Houston Texans to do that? I think it was a classy move, but definitely not the smartest of football moves.
What do you think the trade value of Von Miller could possibly be?
Well, those teams are still looking for a pass rusher. And there's depending on where Von's ankle is and his legal issues are, I think there's still tremendous value for a older pass rusher.
Well, what is it?
Is it a 2 and a 4? Is it 3 and a 5?
I'm asking you. What do you think?
I don't know. But if it's a 2 and a 4 or a 3 and a 5, I think that's worth $7 million, considering draft capital is the most difficult thing to come by. That leaves your options open. Once you don't pay it, you have no more options. The options are done at that point.
I don't think you could get better than a 4th-round pick for Von Miller.
Well, I think considering those teams that were in, the number of teams that were in the J.J. Watt sweepstakes that are still looking for a pass rusher, I think there is still a market there. I think we'll see, you know, some movement here this offseason that will surprise us outside of this move. But this move, I think, again, the trade value is why you pay that $7 million.
All right, so what would you do with Vaughn? What would be your decision? Would you extend him? Would you release him? Would you try to renegotiate? What would you do?
I'd pay the $7 million. I would continue to have conversations with those teams who are still who are interested in J.J. Watt. And I would also begin to work with Vaughn's agent on a deal that takes some of the risk back from Vaughn and shares it with the Broncos and Vaughn. Hey, Vaughn, you think you're healthy and great, then you'd be happy to accept this incentive-laden deal that'll pay you for your production. There's no reason for the Broncos to pay Von Miller his full salary. Now, can he take the $7 million, refuse a contract negotiation, get released, and try to negotiate other teams? He certainly can. But as we have talked about, as a guy who bounced around at the end of his career, it's not the glamorous way to go out. You know, do you want to be Dwight Freeney playing for the Chargers and playing for Atlanta and being a pass rusher for hire? Or do you want to go out in the city where you are the Super Bowl MVP and a huge part of getting that team to the Super Bowl? I think it's a much sweeter ending, having done it the other way, to stay and finish your career, particularly for a guy like Vaughn who's only played for the Broncos, mm-hmm. rather than bouncing around your last 3 or 4 years.
All right. Well, I understand where you're coming from, and it does make logical sense if you really do think you could get a second and a fourth,
That's what you should do. I mean, if you could get that, you'd be insane not to do that. Yeah, because
I'm kind of curious why you just wouldn't do that now. But all right,
I think there's too many question marks. I think everybody everyone wants to compare the Von Miller situation to the J.J. Watt situation. Outside of the guys both being older pass rushers, that's the only real comparable. J.J. Watt, while injured in the past, was healthy last season. Mm-hmm. He played pretty good last season. There's question marks about Von Miller's health. When's he going to recover? Is he going to recover? J.J. Watt, a leader in the locker room, a leader in the community. Von Miller, a guy who's facing some legal troubles, and leadership has been questioned. So there's a little bit of a different situation surrounding those guys. So I'm pushing back on this comparison of well, J.J. Watt gets this, so therefore Von Miller gets the same thing. There are guys who are in slightly different places.
Yeah, but doesn't all that just say that the trade value is going to be much, much lower?
No, it says that if teams are desperate, they think they are one piece away. We see those teams take those risks. If you're the Cleveland Browns, you compare Von Miller with Myles Garrett, that's an opportunity I think you got to take to move your defense to the next level. If you're Indy, if you're Green Bay, these teams that are, you know, desperate for pass rush and are playoff teams with, you know, for Green Bay with a quarterback who doesn't have the longest window left, you're going to be a little bit desperate, and you will take a chance on a guy who may have some questionable legal things going on. But I think everybody's going to be waiting to see how he is physically before a move is made.
All right, on another note, and then I have something goofy for you, but you have called a lot of college football, including Alabama. Why do you think Mac Jones is, over the past couple days, had an upswing?
I think people had just had another chance to dive back into the tape. And that's probably where that's coming from. I think it was easy at the end of the season to kind of dismiss Mac Jones. Hey, he's playing with the Heisman Trophy winner. He's playing with first-round picks. He's handing the ball off to first-round picks. He's got first-round picks blocking for him. But once you dive a little deeper into the tape, you begin to see things that aren't based on the talent around him. You know, his ability to throw into tight windows, his ability to throw deep balls. You know, of course, he's got to get some protection. He's got to be able to step up in the pocket. But at the same time, he's the one making those throws. He's the one reading those progressions. And Steve Sarkisian's offense is not a typical college offense. There's a lot of pro elements in it that directly relate to the pro game. So to come from the most pro-ready program, Alabama,
yeah.
to have an OC who calls a pro-style game for the most part, and to begin to take a deeper second or third look into the tape, I think it becomes pretty clear that dude's a pretty darn good quarterback, and it's not just he was held up by the talent around him. He was a talented guy who also had talented people with him.
There's Chad Brown on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline, and he says it's okay to throw down $7 million just to think about Von Miller. But, hey, I don't know. I don't know how to make sense of any of it. Thank God we have Nick and Cecil coming up next here on The Fan.